This is Morgan Beatty bringing you NBC's News of the World. Tonight in the headlines, the big story. Republicans open salvo fire on taxes and Vietnam. Johnson waits for the whites of their eyes. He puts the congressional pork barrel on the table in the 1968 political poker game. Houston, Texas, the worst flood in a generation in the Rio Grande Valley. Washington, a no skydiving law may answer the senseless death toll. Those are the headlines. In a moment, the news.
Hi, this is Joe Garagiola. You know, I was on a ball club once where the manager gave a base runner the sign to steal three straight times. The guy never moved. And later, when the manager asked him why, the base runner said, "I didn't think you meant it." I'd like to eliminate that kind of confusion right now. I'm going to give you a message, and I want you to know that I really mean it. The message? Tune in every weekday on this station to the Joe Garagiola Sports Show. I'll be talking about the most interesting part of sports, the people who play them and watch them. 400 hitters, bat boys, fans, they all go to make up the world of sports, and they all have interesting stories. To me, sports means a lot of things, but one that gets overlooked a lot is the fact that it's fun. I should say that the fun side of sports is overlooked some places, but not on the Joe Garagiola Sports Show, which comes to you right here on NBC every weekday. I hope you'll be listening.
Now, here is Morgan Beatty with the news.
And the news tonight is the beginning of a Republican Party effort to nail down the war in Vietnam as a major issue in 1968 without actually saying so. The news also is President Johnson's awareness of what's going on in the broad spectrum of the opposition party. He and his administration spokesman countered the Republican maneuvers today by laying foundation bricks in their own campaign. Here's the story. Representative John W. Burns, ranking Republican on the House Ways and Means Committee, proposed today to impose congressional spending limitations on the president. He laid the groundwork for a Republican claim that the Republicans forced the president to cut billions of spending dollars. The idea is to tack on to a measure giving the president the tax rise he has asked for, or part of it, to tack on to that measure a mandatory cut in non-defense spending. The president presumably would have to sign the death warrant for pet Great Society programs in order to gain the money appropriations for regular government departments. Such a measure must be signed by October the 3rd, or the government departments will run out of money. Thus, ranking Mr. Burns, with the help of a measure proposed by Representative Frank T. Bow, Republican of Ohio, would avoid any public censure on the Vietnam War issue while capitalizing on the unease in the nation over that war. The administration reply to all of this has already been given, namely, that our gross national product runs annually at a rate close to $800 billion. Wages and profits are high, and we can well afford, says the administration, to maintain our world leadership and keep our promises to allies. The president has still other means of protecting himself in the political dirty trick department. We'll have a report from Washington on that. For the moment, on the record, the Republicans are merely taking advantage of national unease about our whole policy in Asia. For example, today, a panel of 26 American businessmen, including former Undersecretary of the Treasury Robert Roussa and Frederick Beebe, chairman of Newsweek magazine, proposed that the United States drop opposition to membership for Red China in the United Nations. Peking has said for years that China would never join the American-dominated UN as they have it. The American group does not explain how Red China could be persuaded to accept membership along with nationalist China on Formosa. And today, 52 members of the House, mostly Republicans, demanded that Congress look again at the war in Vietnam with a view to asserting its own powers concerning declarations of war and the money used to fight wars. The administration prefers, for now, the soft public answer. United States Ambassador Ellsworth Bunker in Saigon today gave the administration reply to those who would have us negotiate a peace. He said, "I don't see any present indication that there is any move on the part of Hanoi to come to negotiations." But he went on, referring to recent elections in the South, "The fact that there is now a stable, popularly elected constitutional government in South Vietnam may lead the North to see the futility of continuing the fight." And our General William Westmoreland made his most optimistic statement yet on the war when he said in Saigon, He said this: "The picture of ultimate military success against the North may now be viewed with increasing clarity." And President Johnson himself took advantage of his routine proclamation for Veterans Day to say, "No American soldiers have ever fought more bravely or with greater devotion to America's cause than those fighting in Vietnam today." The administration is holding its political salvo fire until later, but there's no doubt that it's coming. Here is Paul Duke, NBC News correspondent in Washington.
House Republicans are planning a squeeze play to try to force the administration to substantially reduce federal spending. They've served notice they'll try to attach a rider to an appropriation bill imposing a ceiling on the amount of money the administration can spend. It's the latest complication in the struggle over a tax increase. Republicans and some Democrats are demanding evidence of spending cuts before agreeing to support a tax bill. But the administration is insisting Congress approve federal money bills before submitting a list of reductions. To this, Congress is saying, no, go ahead and cut now. One reason is fear the administration may cut back in an area dear to the heart of every congressman, the pork barrel, which contains money for local projects. But it should be noted Congress may keep down pork barrel appropriations on its own. The House has already recommended less money than requested and has authorized fewer projects than at any time in the past 5 years. But even those hollering the loudest about big budgets don't want the White House trimming projects that please the folks back home. Paul Duke, NBC News, Washington.
Now, more news by direct report, the worst flood in a generation. No, I'll be back in a moment.
Wally Ballou here in the car with Mr. Dale Sturdley. Mind if I call you Dale, Dale?
I'd prefer Mr. Sturdley, Wally.
All right, Mr. Sturdley. As I understand it, you've never worn a seatbelt in your life.
That's right. I always thought they were sissy stuff.
But today you've consented to.
Exactly. Put my first seatbelt on in front of your, I trust, vast radio audience.
It is. What made you change your mind?
Now, how fast is the car going?
About 30 miles an hour.
Well, and so are we. Now, say we hit that parked car over there.
Oh, please don't.
The car would stop suddenly.
But we would not.
That's right, and we'd go, psst, right through the windshield. It would hurt.
The National Safety Council says thousands of auto deaths could be prevented by seatbelts.
I say it would hurt to go through the windshield. Well, time to buckle up.
How does it feel, Mr. Sturdley?
Hey, always wondered why this car was so uncomfortable. I've been sitting on the seatbelt buckle for 5 years.
Yes, that's another advantage of buckling up.
Buckle up for safety.
Once again, Morgan Beatty.
Now more news by direct report, the worst flood in a generation in the Southwest. Here is John Dancy, NBC News correspondent in Houston, Texas.
Hundreds of Mexican families are stranded tonight on railroad embankments and levees after floodwaters from the Rio Grande swept into communities along the Mexican side of the river. Thousands more have been airlifted across the river to refugee centers on the American side. Many of the cities in the U.S. have more than doubled in population as refugees pour in. Rio Grande City, a town of 7,000, for instance, has 7,000 refugees in 22 centers. This is one of the greatest floods in Rio Grande history, and although American authorities had built flood control dams and spillways, some of the dams broke, sending water racing into the towns. Water flowed 40 feet deep today in the Arroyo Colorado through Harlingen, Texas, inundating homes in the $50,000 class. But it is across the river in Mexico that the floods have caused the greatest misery. Whole families are huddled on little islands with all their possessions and their animals. They will be there until they are rescued or until the water recedes. John Dancy, NBC News, Houston.
And now, around the world briefly, New York. The Wall Street bulls outlasted the profit takers again today, and stock prices finished higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average outperformed the market, jumping 8.73 to a new high for the year at 943.08. The jump reflected a 2.625-point climb by General Motors and a 6.5 leap by DuPont. The rail and utility averages lost ground. Detroit Chrysler Corporation rolled back its higher prices today for the second straight year to match lower high price tags as set by competitors. Chrysler announced it was slashing prices on its 1968 models by an average of $32 to meet lower price increases by Ford and General Motors. United Nations, New York. Stanley Johnson of the Associated Press, reporting on Secretary of State Dean Rusk's current visit to the UN, says the secretary has had intimations the Russians will not get tough about the Vietnam War in the current session of the UN Assembly. Correspondent Johnson does not expect explain where the intimations come from, but they could have been conveyed by the British Foreign Secretary George Brown. Britain and Russia have the power to reconvene the Geneva Peace Conference to seek a peace in Vietnam, but Russia refuses to cooperate with Britain on such a project. If, however, the Russians pull out all the stops on a propaganda attack on what they call American aggression in Vietnam, our reply can be that Russia has in her own hands the power to bring peace and refuses to use that power. And every day Ho Chi Minh continues to fight, he supports the American case that this is not a civil war for Vietnamese independence, but a way station battle for communist domination of the world. London Prime Minister Harold Wilson tonight described the Vietnam War as one of the most murderous in history. He repeated his call for peace talks, but Mr. Wilson did not condemn Americans as aggressors in Southeast Asia. Saigon, the big gun duel at Con Tien near the demilitarized zone, raged on with renewed fury today. The North Vietnamese showed no sign of easing their 3 weeks artillery siege of U.S. Marines who are guarding invasion routes into South Vietnam. Again, our B-52 bombers blanketed suspected enemy gun and supply position with tons of bombs. 7th Fleet warships pounded at the Reds' east flank from the South China Sea. The Marines kept up their intense rate of counterfire. Since the Communists opened the dueling September the 1st, 61 Marines have been killed, 785 wounded, and our reports are that Communist casualties are much greater but unknown. Washington. The Air Force is spending $30 million this year to develop a high-speed aircraft with advanced radar to detect bombers attacking the United States. Washington. President Johnson's daughter, Linda Byrd, will marry Marine Captain Charles S. Robb on Saturday, December the 9th. It's official now. It will be a winter wedding in the East Room of the White House. And then there's the story of the skydivers. Question, should Congress try to protect them against their own recklessness? That story when I return in a moment.
This is Charles Murphy, NBC News, Saigon.
This is Wells Hangen, NBC News, Hong Kong.
This is Bernard Frizzell, NBC News, Paris.
Irving R. Levine, NBC News, Rome.
This is Ray Scherer, NBC White House correspondent.
Ellie Abel, NBC News, London.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0, +1.
Jay Barbary, NBC News, Cape Kennedy.
And this is Chet Huntley, NBC News, New York. Wherever things are happening, across the nation, across the world, NBC News is there.
Now, with the closing story, Morgan Beatty.
It's as if taxes, black power, Vietnam are not problems enough. Now skydiving is a national issue. Here's Peter Hackes, NBC News correspondent in Washington.
Safety experts who investigated last month's tragedy in which 16 skydivers drowned in Lake Erie say there was three-way blame for the accident, all of it human error. The pilot of the plane that took them up, they say, should have canceled the jump when he saw heavy clouds obscure the target. An air traffic controller apparently gave the plane a wrong position, confusing it with another blip on his radar screen, and the jumpers themselves broke an FAA rule by diving through the clouds they saw beneath them. 41 sport parachutists have died in this country in 1967. The 41st death was that of 27-year-old John Wasik, whose wife had died in an earlier skydiving accident. Wasik apparently committed suicide yesterday in a jump over Florida, clasping his hands in prayer without opening either of his two chutes. 216 have died in skydiving accidents since the sport was introduced 10 years ago. Some officials want stiffer controls, such as licenses for each diver. Jumpers say that would be like licensing skiers, that there are 1.5 million safe jumps each year. There's beauty in jumping, they say, like mountain climbing or skin diving. The government wants to make it as safe as possible. Peter Hackes, NBC News, Washington.
And that's the news of the world. Until tomorrow, Morgan Beatty, NBC News, New York.
This is the NBC Radio Network.